All right. Ephesians chapter 2 again. With this familiar three verses, or the Apostle Paul actually is continuing, and he says, "For by grace are ye saved." Let me note that again. "For by grace are ye saved." Now, we could stop there because the Apostle Paul has actually already stopped there in a preceding verse. And that's where he said, verse 5, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ." And every time I read that, I remember Earl saying something along the lines of, "And Paul just couldn't stand it anymore." You remember that?
Yeah.
And quickly, you know, he adds, "By grace are ye saved." Because notice, when he saved us and quickened us, when we were dead in our sins, not when we were willing, not when we were doing anything. And that's why he's summing it up here. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." That is, faith is not of yourself. Salvation is not of yourself. Grace is not of yourself. "And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now, I'm still on God-given faith. This is faith in good works, but I'm still on God-given faith. And let me remind us, one, of these five things. One, faith is God's gift. Faith is not a human ability. Faith is not what every man can do, they just don't. Faith is that which is impossible for man to do. Faith must be given. And when faith is given, it's had. It's received. It's experienced. Faith is God's gift. Secondly, faith is the fruit of God himself. God doesn't just enable me, David, to have faith. God gave me faith. And that faith is a fruit of God. Thirdly, believing, that is faith in action, takes resurrection power. The same power that was used by God to raise Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power it took to cause me to believe, and to cause you to believe. Fourthly, faith is called forth into believing by hearing the gospel of Christ. Now, I will stop for a moment and say, we here, maybe not everyone here, but we here have been accused of denying that or belittling that, but it's just not so. Faith is called forth into believing by hearing the gospel. But never does a person hear the gospel and then receive faith from the gospel. Faith is the gift of God. Faith is the fruit of not the gospel, it's the fruit of the Spirit, who is God. But faith is called forth into believing. But remember, it is by the hearing of the gospel of Christ. Men are not called forth into believing by hearing they are to assemble themselves together. They're called forth into believing in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And fifthly, I said this, and this is where I left off last week. Faith is of the highest order. Faith is the grandest plane. One, look back at the first four things. One, it's God's gift. Two, it's a fruit of the Spirit of God Almighty. Believing takes resurrection power. And faith is called forth into believing by hearing the gospel. Remember the account that our Lord gave, the illustration of the seed and the sower. And to bring forth that fruit takes both good ground and good seed. But, as I said, faith is of the highest order, the grandest plane. Think about it, and this is where I kind of left off last week, what the Apostle Paul does not say. He does not say, "For by grace are you saved through repentance," does he? Though repentance is certainly a part of those things, those gifts of grace that accompany salvation. The scripture would talk about God permitting grace or allowing grace or bringing, not grace, but repentance to men, giving men repentance. But it's not, "For by grace are you saved through repentance," because here's the fact, there are times when I'm not repentant. Even though there's never a time that I cannot believe. You understand that? Even when I'm unrepentant, I still cannot help but believe. Now, I may not believe as I ought. I may not believe to the degree that I should. There may be certain things, David, I should believe and haven't yet believed. But I always, once God gives me or you the gift of faith and you begin to hear the gospel, you cannot help but believe, even when you don't repent. That's why it is, for by grace are you saved through faith. Repentance, though it is in some place, one place, said to be toward God. That is, the Apostle Paul said, we preach faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, and repentance toward God, and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet no repentance toward God is of any value apart from faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Judas repented of what he'd done, but he still went to hell. Remember, Esau sought repentance carefully with tears, but what? Could not find it. It wasn't within the capacity of Esau to find it. So faith is the high of the highest order, the grandest plane of all of these gifts of grace. And as I said last week, faith is the predominant gift of grace. It doesn't say, for by grace are you saved through assembling yourselves together. Right? Yet God's people desire to assemble themselves together. Yet that's not what is taught here. It is, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So, as I said last week, and here's where I will take up, we will start to look at other passages. Faith, that is, as a gift. Faith as a gift of grace, we could say. Faith as this presiding gift has many sisters, but faith has only one twin, and that twin is love. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, and that's where I'll start reading in other various passages. This is probably a familiar passage, probably familiar to, you know, the majority of people. Yet the majority of people do not really comprehend it. Where Paul says, 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not what? Charity. Now, what's that word charity? Usually we think of charity as you give something to the poor, right? That's the way the word is commonly used in our day. But the Apostle Paul makes it quite clear that's not his meaning, right? That's not, that certainly, I believe, Ellen, would be included in this charity. But the word here is actually the word agape. It is love. And we will see. Look, let's read on. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love. That's the way I'm going to read it, because that's what it's talking about. Have not agape. I am become as sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have what? All faith. And so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed. Now the poor is put in there, but that certainly would be a part of it, would it not? But though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned. Paul's saying I could become a martyr. But being a martyr without love profits what? Nothing. You see, there are a lot of people who say, and may actually believe, but they don't love what they say they believe. And therein is the difference. According to the Apostle Paul, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, the King James puts it this way, faith which worketh by love. And that word is the word from which we get our word energy. The actual meaning here of the Apostle Paul is faith is what? Energized by love. You see, if you don't love the truth, you don't believe the truth through a God-given faith. Now, you may believe truth, but if that's all you do is believe truth and you don't love it, then it's not a God-given faith. It's human faith, and it is thus dead faith, and thus it does not respond in obedience to God, because clearly our text is includes what? For we are created in Christ Jesus, what? Unto good works. And every time I think of that, I also think of Earl as well. Preaching a series of sermons on this very truth. And then after one of those sermons, I was approached. And the person asked me, is Earl preaching works? And you could tell by the tone. There was a sense of fear, a sense of bewilderment. And what I simply said to begin with was this. Yes. And you could just see the countenance fall. You know why? Because I'm afraid there's a lot of people in grace circles that's been so falsely taught that they actually think good works are a bad thing. But good works are not a bad thing. They're the very things that God before ordained that we should walk in them. The problem is, good works are not what most people think good works are. You know, right, they're not deeds. It's not singing in the choir. It's not singing in the choir. It's not soul winning. Good works are what? Just doing the right thing. That's what it is. And it's that walking in. But we'll look at that later. But faith is the highest order, because it is, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, any kind, good or evil. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, turn with me to John chapter 14. Now, this is not a passage you will hear the world at large who profess to be believers who hibernate under John 3:16. You know what I'm talking about? They hibernate under John 3:16. The greatest verse in the Bible to them is John 3:16. Well, let me say, there is no greatest verse in the Bible. That's their problem, is they pick out one verse over other verses. Listen to what our Lord said in John chapter 14. Let me find my spot for the sake of time. Oh, that's right, I got an hour and a half. Never mind. No, we'll probably eat by about 11:30. Listen to what, in verse 23. Now, Judas, not Iscariot, has asked him, basically, how do we know who you really are? You know? Look at verse 22. I should read that. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and what? And not unto the world. They clearly understood Christ was not here to manifest himself to everyone without question. Right? And how is it that you're going to do? How little did they know? He didn't have to keep it back from them. They couldn't get it to start with, you see. But yet, look at what he says. Now, this is our Lord's words. This is just as true as any. This is just as true as Romans chapter 9. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. These are our Lord's words just as much as those words through the Apostle Paul. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, what's that say? He will keep my words. Now that's what Christ said. Therefore, it's not up to me to determine whether it's right or wrong. It is right, period. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. Now this is not an earned love, but experienced love. Because not a one of us earns God's love by us loving him. What does the scripture say as the precedent? It's not that we loved God, but that he loved us. It also says we love him because what? He first loved us. That's the precedent. So you can't take this scripture and twist it to mean something contrary to those other scriptures, but nevertheless, this scripture still means what? Exactly what it says. Jesus said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Now, let us please, I'm going to do it, but let us please not fall to the old cliche, well, but nobody's perfect. That's not even considered here. We're not talking about perfection. And when someone usually says, I'm not perfect, what are they usually doing? They're ready to pull the slingshot back against you. Now, they're trying to take the lower ground, but what are they really doing? Stepping up on a rock above you so they can crush your skull in with it. That ought not even be a part of our vocabulary. Well, but I'm not perfect. Duh. You know? Give me a break. That's not even what's taught here. What's taught here is whatever you love, that's what you're going to stick with. Because love is, then go back to 1 Corinthians, and let's go back to it again. 1 Corinthians 13. Now, does this kind of love reside in me personally, from me? No, because love is also what? The fruit of the Spirit, the gift of God. And remember, it's the twin sister of faith, because faith is what? Energized by love. That is, faith comes to action. Faith does what it does. Whatever it does it out of what? Love. And look, let's go on. Charity, verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 13. Charity, what? Suffereth long and is kind. Charity, that is love, envieth not. Now, anytime you do anything opposite of this, you know it's what? Flesh. It's not this love. But anytime you find yourself engaged in this or having this within you, it is what? The gift of God. It's not us. Envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Boy, that's a good one, isn't it? How often do I come short of that one? Is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, that is love, doesn't seek her own, is not easily provoked. Boy, that lets me know how much I still need, David. Is not easily provoked. Well, I feel all too often too easily provoked. Kind of like this. Let me stop a minute. Where that scripture says love covers a multitude of sins, and people think that's talking about God. Do you know that? God don't cover our sins. God suffered for our sins and put them away in the person of His Son. What that is saying is, if you really love somebody, you're going to keep things quiet concerning that person. You see, if I do something against my wife, I hope my wife loves me enough to say, that's between me and her. You know what I mean? And you don't go spreading it to everybody else. But when you don't like somebody, when you don't love somebody, what do? You tell everything about them that you possibly can. And you know what? When it comes to this group of people, your faults, your failures, my failures, our sins against God is our business and nobody else's. You know, I'm not going out here telling everybody how bad we are in detail. You know why? It's not their business, because love covers a multitude of sins. It's not the fact that we're sinless, it's the fact that we're sinful, and that's why we got to cover for one another. Right? That's what it says. Now look, love does not do some things either. What? Rejoices not in iniquity. That's just the way it is. It's the way love is. But rejoiceth, in what? In truth, not in religion. Not in religion. Not in religion, not in human opinion, not just in so-called religious things, but love rejoices in what? The truth. Love bears all things. Love does what? Love believes all things. Love hopes in all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. And that's what it says. Now, let's go back again. John chapter 14. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, what? Keepeth not my sayings. He said, here, let me just give you a couple. Someone says, well, but I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. No, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. But if you are a Christian, you'll what? You'll want to go to church. Because you love it. You love the truth. You love God's people. You love God. And that's just the way it is. And if you don't want to be here, you're not one. And that's not my opinion. That's what our Lord said. What? He that loves me will keep what? My words. He that does not love me keeps not my words. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. And what Christ is saying, this ain't just my opinion. This is the way it is with deity, with God Almighty. Now, so remember, faith has this twin sister. It's sad, and I don't say this over and over because I feel so subject to the accusation and subject to the doing of it. I'm not saying this to be mean, but I'm afraid there's countless thousands probably of people who profess to believe the truth, but they don't love it. And you know why? Because they don't want to come hear it. They don't want to support it. You know, there are people who probably spend $20 to $25 a pop every week, David, on gas money, just to get here in this little group. You know? And in this day and age and in this economy, that ain't easy. And there are people who won't even walk down the street to go hear the truth of God. They won't even do that for religion, let alone for the truth of God. Now, let me give you something else. You've seen it. We see it every year. The hordes of people on Black Friday crushing into stores and crushing one another with mean, spiteful actions just to do what? Just to purchase something to save a few bucks. You know why? Because men love things. But how many of those people would do that to come hear the truth of God? Not a one of them. Not a one of them. Now, let me give you another passage. 1 Timothy, and here I'm going to read some of these. We're talking about faith and love. And the truth of the scripture is this. A person says, I believe it, but if they don't love it, they're lying. Whether they're intending to lie or not, it doesn't matter. If you believe it, by God's grace, you're going to love it. And I can also say, if you love it, by God's grace, you're going to believe it. They go hand in hand. Now, what did I say it was? 2 Timothy? Did I say that? Well, I was wrong. Mark that down on your calendar. 2 Timothy 1, verse 13. Paul, talking to Timothy, says what? Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in what? In faith and love. You see, I was in a religion at one time that called itself Christian. They didn't care whether you loved it or not, as long as you believed it. And that's just the truth. They accuse us of teaching antinomianism, of being lawless, of saying you can be saved and live any way you want, but that's actually what they taught us. That other group did. You know that? Because all you got to do is make your decision, and then if you ever screw up, if you ever sin, just go tell Jesus you're sorry and everything's okay. Roman Catholics do it. Presbyterians do it. Church of God does it. Doesn't it? Yeah, everybody does it. Everybody. Here's the point. If you don't love it, you don't believe it. Not by grace. If you don't believe it, you don't love it. Not by grace. Because if you believe it by grace, you'll love it. If you love it by grace, you'll believe it. They go hand in hand and cannot be separated. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love. And then he says what? Which is in religion? Which is in which is in Christ Jesus, because he is at the center of this faith and love. Here's another passage. Just turn over two or three pages possibly to Philemon. This is Paul writing to Philemon, and look at verse 5. Hearing of thy love and faith. Do you see it? Which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus. And what else? And toward all saints. Because remember, even John said, he that's born of God loves him that is born of God. If God Almighty's given you spiritual life, you're going to love others whom he's given spiritual life to. And that's where our love is centralized at. You see, we are a particular group of people that's been called by the free and sovereign grace of God to love and believe the truth when nobody else has been. And that's just the way it is. I heard Penny say this the other day. She was talking to someone. Doesn't matter who it was, but she was talking to someone and she made this statement. And I rejoiced in it because I've made this statement. And I rejoice in that both of us say this, that we feel this, because, and I know there'll be those of you here that know this and feel this, because it's truth. It's based upon the truth of Scripture. And I will make it personal. I am not better than anyone else. I'm no better than anyone else. There are some people I am probably worse than them. But I am different from other people. We love and believe what they hate. And that's what it boils down to. We love and believe what they refuse to love and believe. The opposite of all this. Look. Of your faith and love, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. You remember what Paul said about certain people in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 through 12? They received not what? The love of the truth. and God is going to send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Now, I used to read that and I think, well, it doesn't really, it means God's going to let it happen. Is that what it says? It says God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. There's the difference. You either love the truth and believe it, or you don't love the truth and believe it. People who think they believe the truth but don't love it just don't know what they're talking about. It's called deception. It summed up this way. Romans chapter 7. And I'm not going to turn back and read it because there's so much there. But basically in Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul puts it this way. What I used to love, I now hate. And he's not saying it this way exactly, Ellen, but still the fact of what he's saying. What I used to love, I now hate. What I used to hate, I now love. And that's the evidence of God-given faith. Because it's that kind of faith that's energized by that kind of love. And it's that kind of faith that's present where that kind of love is. And I do sometimes, Paul says, what? What I hate. And sometimes I don't find it within my power to do what I love. But yet this is my conundrum. The problem with most people, they don't even love it. Let alone try to do it, David. They could care less about truth. Let me give you this. And I will take time later on to, Lord willing, go back through each one of these. This is not an exhaustive list by any means. But I want to just give you some statements about the wondrous language of faith. Because remember, faith is kind of set all of these great gifts, faith, repentance, wisdom, understanding. All of these things come from God. But at the top of the list is what? Faith and love. That's at the top of the list. Because to consider having any other of these things is void and null if you don't first have what? Faith and love. Think about it. Here's the wondrous language of faith. And the scripture doesn't present it as, well, you got a lot of believers. You have a lot of people who believe, but there are some super ultra believers. You know what I mean? There are groups that teach this. That you have this whole group of believers, they're safe, they have grace in Christ, but then there's this other group that's kind of above everybody else. Scripture never presents those who have faith as that way, as one being over another. Faith is faith is faith is faith, period. Love is love is love, period. Here's the language of faith. Faith looks at the unseen. That's what faith does. Not some people's faith, but a God-given faith. If you have it, this is what you do. You can't help it. You look at the unseen. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 13 through 18. Secondly, faith longs for things hoped for. Romans chapter 8, verses 22 through 25. Faith, thirdly, faith touches the intangible. That is, faith lays hold of, it grabs what cannot be laid hold of. That's in Hebrews chapter 6. Verses 9 through 20. Thus, faith lays hold of God's words and His promises. Romans chapter 8, verses 30 through 32. Not done yet. Faith submits to Christ as righteousness. Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. Romans chapter 9, verse 32. And Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Faith, and that's not, well, my faith submits to Christ's righteousness, but yours don't, but at least you got faith. That ain't the way it works. If you don't have a faith that submits to Christ's righteousness, you don't have God-given faith. Go back. If you don't have a faith that lays hold of God's words and His promises, then you don't have God-given faith. If you don't have a faith that longs for things hoped for, that touches the intangible, that looks at the unseen, then you don't have God-given faith. But if you do, what? Look at the unseen. Touch the intangible, long for things hoped for, lays hold of God's word and His promises. You submit to Christ as God's righteousness, then you have God-given faith. The list is not over yet. Faith partakes of Christ. That is, it actually feasts upon Him. This is more than just doctrine to us. This is my spiritual soul food. This is what I survive on. You remember our Lord Jesus Christ? Now, the passage I'm using to show that faith partakes of Christ, that is, it feasts on Him, is John 6, verses 47 through 71. Like I said, we'll go back later, look at these passages, Lord willing, in particular. But here's the thing. You remember our Lord made a statement in another passage. Man shall not live by bread alone. Right? Now, what's he mean? Does bread bring people alive? Can you take a dead person, stuff enough bread in their mouth, and they'll come alive? No, that's not what he's talking about. What is bread? What does bread do? It doesn't bring dead things to life, but what did it do? It sustains life where life's already present. Now, that's what we'll see in the passages. That's what Christ meant when he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but what? But by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We don't come alive by this word, but you know what? We still live by this word. We feast on it. We partake on it. So much so that Christ said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have life in you. What's the proof of I've got life in me? I will eat his flesh and I will drink his blood. I will feast on him. Let's move along. Faith is that which overcomes the world. Most people sadly think, well, you come up with faith, or maybe you even get faith. Maybe they even teach it's given to you as a gift. And then you use faith to then overcome the world. Well, that's not what John said. He said, and this is the victory that overcomes the world. What? Faith. Faith is the victory. If God's given you faith, then you already have the victory. You don't have to go get the victory. You already have the victory. Secondly, faith is reckoned. There's a deep one. Faith is reckoned. You know what to reckon means, don't you? It means put to our account. You know why? Because on my account, my actual account, there no faith exists. I'm not even capable of faith. I'm not even worthy of faith. Faith is reckoned to me. Insomuch, that's in Romans 4, verse 9, faith is reckoned. Insomuch that the end of that chapter, near the end of that chapter, the Apostle Paul writes that God calls those things which what? Be not. As what? As though they were. See, God calls me a believer, even though in and of myself, I ain't one. You know that? Because apart from his gift, his power, his fruit, I wouldn't even have that. So that's what he's talking about. So faith is reckoned. Next, faith walks. Did you know that? Faith walks. Romans chapter 4, verse 10 through 12, where the Apostle Paul said, if you got the kind of faith Abraham had, you'll walk in the steps that Abraham walked in. That's what he said, didn't he? Now, did Abraham walk perfectly? Of course not. But he still walked how? By faith. Next, faith frees from the schoolmaster. Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 through 25. Also, on top of that, faith stands. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 11, verse 20. And last but not least, and not the end of the list, but it's all I've got wrote down, faith is substance and it is evidence. That, so many people, you read the commentaries, people are just looking for the meaning of that. It means what it says. Faith is not in order for me to find evidence. Faith is my evidence. If I have faith, it lets me know God Almighty saved me. If I got, here we go, this kind of faith. You see it? Therein we are given what? Both substance and evidence. Now, a couple questions and a couple answers. Is there any wonder then that all action, the Apostle Paul says, all action apart from faith is said to be what? Sin. Right? That which is not of faith. You see, if you attend this assembly and you do so not out of faith, you know what it is? It's a sin. If I attend this assembly, if I stand here and preach to you and it's not done in faith, you know what it is? It's a sin against God. Even so much so that our Lord Jesus Christ said that even the plowing of the wicked is what? Sin. Why? Because they don't plow in a God-given faith. So there's no wonder that all action, the Apostle Paul said, apart from faith is said to be sin. Because what? Faith is put this way. And let me turn to it. 1 John, if you want to read it, let me find it. Yeah, here it is. Well, here's where you kind of get a summary of what faith is and what unbelief is, or I should say what believing is and what unbelief is. Look at it. 1 John 5, verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God, what does that say? Hath made God a liar. All unbelievers call God a liar, whether they mean to or not. Because unbelief is to call God a liar. Isn't that what that says? He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness where? In himself. You don't need me to tell you. I can't prove to you whether you have it or not. Only God can prove it to you. And he does that where? Inwardly, by believing. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made them a liar. Why? Because he believeth not the record God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath what? Given to us what? Eternal life. And where's that life in? His Son. Now somebody said, well, you've got to receive it. No, if he gives it, you'll have it. And then everything else will flow. Because as John, I've lost my spot, has started out with what we call chapter 5, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ has been, that's actually the meaning of it, has been born of God, fathered of God. Life must come first. Believing is the proof of the existence of spiritual life. And it's what? Believing it. It is loving it. It is receiving the record God gave of his Son. Think about it. Here's the next statement, not the question. Here's the statement. Is there any wonder then that we begin by faith? John chapter 16 and verse 9. When the Spirit of God is come, he will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin. Why? What's the main problem we have? Because we believe not on Christ. You see, if I could start out believing, the rest of it would be okay, but I can't even start out believing. I start out rejecting. I started out in unbelief and rejection. Think about it. John 16, verse 9, we begin by faith. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, we walk by faith. Colossians 1, verse 23, we must continue in the faith. And according to Hebrews 11, 13, and Revelations 2 and 10, we die in the faith. So see, it's all under the canopy of what? Faith. 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 Faith's it. Faith's all there is. Don't try to rise above faith. If God gave you faith, you've risen as high as you're going to go in this life. It's as high as you can go. You can't go any higher than to say the record God gave of his Son is true. That's as high as you can go. Most people think, well, you get faith, then you move on to better things and greater things. No, faith's the greatest. Other things trickle down from that. You see what I'm saying? Other things trickle down from that. So we begin by faith, we walk by faith, we must continue in the faith, and we die in faith. This is the kind of faith that God uses to save by grace. And this kind of faith only. I say if you don't have that kind of faith, and it applies to me, if I don't have this kind of faith, I'm deceived. No matter what I claim. No matter how sincere I am, it is that kind of faith and that kind of faith only that God uses to save. Wherein Paul said, for by grace are you saved through faith. And the kind of faith he's talking about is the kind that's not of yourself. It's God's gift. It's not of any effort on your part whatsoever so that you cannot boast before God. That applies to you and applies to me. And when God gives you that faith, you will begin to quit boasting on yourself. Now you won't quit. But you will begin to quit boasting on yourself, and you will glory in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you can't do that, then you don't have God-given faith. And that's just the way it is. Father, as we continue here, may it be that we fellowship in the truth of the person and work of your Son, first and foremost, in all your word, Lord, no doubt. But it may it be that it's all centralized in him. That's in Christ. Lord, we thank you for this food we're about to partake of, and may it be enjoyed, and may our time together, our fellowship, be enjoyed. I ask it and thank you in Christ's name. Amen.